Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live. And we would love to hear from you. What's on your mind today? Is there something you'd like to talk about? If so, give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. That number's good, as always, in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now if you can, because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I love these little letters at the back of the Bible. They're short. They're easy to read. But, man, they are power-packed. Yeah. They're just filled with all kinds of wonderful encouragement, wonderful truth to really help establish us in our faith. And I love this one that Paul wrote to Timothy, his second letter. And he's talking about the faith of Timothy's grandmother and mother and now the faith that dwells in him. And he gives us the encouragement. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hand. So Paul set Timothy apart, aside, and said, you know, I want you to be involved in this gospel ministry. And Timothy was one of the traveling companions.
Right.
And he became a leader at a church. And, you know, he just had an incredible ministry. Mm-hmm. But all at the encouragement of the Apostle Paul. One, this teaches us that we need people, to encourage us. We need to encourage others to help them in their journey, to help give them the courage and the boldness to take a stand for this gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Paul was saying. And then he writes this. He says, "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." Now, what a gift.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
Talk about gifts of grace. This is a gift of grace, that he has given us a spirit that is not a fear. You know, that's where we were before we came to know Christ. We were living with a spirit of fear. We were afraid of everything. We were afraid of people. We were afraid of punishment. We were just afraid of everything. I mean, we were wondering if we were ever going to be happy. Just name it. Fear was a part of our makeup. And that came from Adam and Eve when they sinned. After they sinned, they hid from God. Why? Because they were afraid of punishment. And boy, that was passed down to all of us. But that's been reversed in Christ Jesus. When we're born again, we've been given a spirit that is not a fear, but it's of power and of love and of self-control. And I think the encouragement that Paul is giving here is, based on this truth, go out and live as if you have power and love and self-control, mm-hmm. as if that's the spirit you really have. Why? Because it really is. And he goes on to say, based on this, don't be ashamed of the testimony concerning Christ. Don't shrink back. Share in the sufferings of the gospel. Just live out this good news of Jesus Christ. Live out this high calling and guard what the Holy Spirit has deposited in you. So there's some great encouragement in these little letters, and especially this verse about not having a spirit of fear, but having a spirit of power, of love, and self-control. Listener, if you're in Christ, if you have come to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and Christ has come to live inside of you, this is your gift from God. He has given you a spirit of power, of love, and self-control. Now, that's a lot different than what's out there in the world. Yeah. So we have a spirit of power. Now, that's not using the weapons of this world. That's using the power of love and using this self-control that's a fruit of the Spirit. And when we do, we can engage the world in such a way that they can see that something's different. There's something unique about this gospel of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. And that is Basic Gospel, everybody. And this is Basic Gospel. We'd love to hear from you. Bob and Richard and I are here, and you can call right now and talk live if it's the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, 844-322-2742. You're hearing the live broadcast, 844-322-2742. You know, it's one of the most often asked questions on the Basic Gospel broadcast. How can I know that my sins are forgiven? Well, that's the reason that we're offering this wonderful little booklet called Forgiveness, The Door to Life. It answers that question loud and clear. Forgiveness is found at the cross of Jesus Christ. And coming to grips with what he did for us, what he accomplished for us on that cross, will change your life forever. But until you rest in the finished work of Christ, be assured you'll never be able to experience the abundance of his life in you. To help Basic Gospel listeners understand this vital truth, we're offering a free copy of this excellent little booklet, Forgiveness, the Door to Life. It's absolutely free, and all you need to do to get your copy is go online to basicgospel.net. Again, basicgospel.net. Well, guys, we had had a question from Frank. He says, I've heard pastors and Christian people saying he or she went back into the world. What are they actually saying by that? My understanding, he says, is that once you're saved, you're saved. What's your take on that? That's from Frank in Modesto, California.
Well, Frank, you're absolutely right. Once you're saved, you're saved. But there's a lot of people, as in the parable of the soils, who receive the word, but when the worries of this world come about, then, you know, it's just like it was planted in shallow soil and didn't really take root. Mm-hmm. So they were just professors. They just gave lip service to this salvation. And when the world offered something that looked better to them, that's where they went. So they were never really saved. John put it this way in his first letter: they went out from among us because they were never really a part of us. So we have to realize that there are a lot of people who would self-identify as a Christian because they were born in America, because they grew up in a Christian family, because they go to church maybe, but they've never really come to Christ. They've never really express genuine, heartfelt faith in the fact that God raised Jesus from the dead. So they've never been born again. They've never been made new in Christ. And so it's those that have just are just giving lip service to the good news that will walk away, will return back to where they were from the very beginning, go back into the world system. All of us, at one point, followed the ways of this world. We lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. And if we've just given lip service and have never truly been born again, then we're just going to go back to doing what we've always done. Mm-hmm. So we've never left that to begin with, is what the Bible would say. So somebody going back into the world and saying, you know, this Christian thing isn't for me, that's somebody that's never been saved to begin with.
Absolutely. Well, Frank, we hope that is a help to you.
Well, let's go to our phone lines and talk to Janice, who's listening to us up in Michigan. Hi, Janice.
Hi, Janice.
Hi.
Welcome. What's on your mind today?
Well, I have two questions if we have time, so I'll launch right into the first one. My first question, and this has been explained to me several times, but I still have trouble understanding. Today, the way we get to heaven is we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. How did people get to heaven before Jesus Christ died on the cross? Like, where are Old Testament people, and how did they get to heaven, and where are they now?
Well, it's always been by faith. So God has always laid that plan out there, and it's always been by grace through faith. So God shows up in Abraham's life, and he brings blessings and promises. And one of those promises was this, that through your seed, the world was going to be blessed. Well, the seed that God was talking about was Jesus Christ himself. So through Jesus, the world is going to be blessed. Well, when that promise was given to Abraham, he believed. And it says that when he believed, it was credited to him as righteousness. So it wasn't based on anything that he had done. It wasn't good works that Abraham brought to the table. It was just his response of faith to the promises and blessings that God brought to him. And those specifically were going to be made real through the person of Jesus Christ. We see the same thing with David. David wasn't relying upon his good works. He knew he was a sinner beyond compare. And all he did was appeal to the mercy of God and trust that God would do something on his behalf based on his mercy in grace. So there was always this belief that's always God's plan from the very beginning. So God had put together a series of pictures and shadows that would point people forward to Jesus Christ. And when they saw kind of the spirit of those pictures and shadows and believed, it was credited to them as righteousness. And so when they died, they went into the upper regions of Hades. And when Jesus finished his work, he would have gone and announced to them that the work had been done, and he would have led them into his presence.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
What is paradise? It does. It does. But I've heard the term paradise.
Well, paradise, you know, when Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise," it's kind of changed. I think the Garden of Eden was the paradise. Man walked with God openly and freely. When sin entered in, that changed. I think that became the upper regions of Hades. I think that's where those saints of old went. And Jesus went into that region to announce his victory. And now it's just in his presence. So when you and I pass away, Janice, when we take our last breath, we're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And we know that the Lord has ascended and is seated at the right hand of God the Father in the heavenly realms. And so when we take our last breath, that's where we're going to be. And that's where those Old Testament saints are right now as well.
Yeah.
Janice, okay. Can I ask one more quick question?
Let me give you a passage to look at real quick.
Oh, okay.
At the end
In
the end of Malachi 3, the only thing anybody ever knows about Malachi 3 is tithe. But at the end of it is this promise. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. Quote, "They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him." That's his promise, that they're going to paradise, and when Jesus is finished with his work, then they're going to be truly absent from the body and present with the Lord.
Okay, and when you say when Jesus is finished with his work?
His death, burial, and resurrection.
Okay, all right. That's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure. All right, well, thank you for that. And can I ask one more quick question?
Sure.
Can you just explain the series of events from the rapture going forward? Like, the rapture happens today, then what?
That's not a simple question.
Yeah, that's not a simple question. You know, there's different viewpoints of end time. So the pre-trib rapture, which is a futurist position, a dispensational position, they would say once the rapture occurs, then there's the seven-year tribulation. At the end of that, there's going to be the final return of Christ, the setup of the millennial reign. So that's how they would outline the future events. What I try to tell people, Janice, is simply this: we have the promise that Jesus is returning, and we know that we're already marked out as people who belong to him, and we've been given a deposit, the Holy Spirit, guaranteeing our future. So judgment, we've been saved from the wrath to come. That will not touch us in any way, shape, or form. We have been set apart for this ultimate salvation we're going to experience at his return, when we will know exactly what has happened to us through faith in Jesus Christ, and then everybody will see us as who we are, indeed children of God.
Okay.
Thank you
so
much,
he's
Janice.
Coming back. You Thank belong you. To him, Janice. That's good news.
Yes, indeed.
I know. With absolute certainty. I just, it's thing, like, where does the tribulation happen, and where does the millennial happen? Here on earth? In heaven?
Well, again, it just, the rain is going to be here on earth. That's how that would play itself out. And you know, Janice, when we look at the final chapters of the book of Revelation, what we see is that our eternal dwelling place is going to be here on earth as well. So we see this, mm-hmm. this vision of a new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. And we really are that new Jerusalem. And we're okay. gonna be established here. God's dwelling place is gonna be here. That's where heaven and earth meet. That's where when the prayer of Jesus will be answered, as it is in heaven, will it be here on earth? So we okay. see that at the very end, where that new Jerusalem comes down, and that is our dwelling place. That's the dwelling place of God as well.
Yeah. Janice, wonderful to okay. hear from you. Thank you for calling. Hope you'll keep listening and call again.
Yeah, let's go to...
Before we do that, we do have calls on the line with Joan in Ann Arbor and Jeff in Dallas. But before we do that, Bob, I just want to say that we deeply appreciate the love and support of Basic Gospel listeners who generously share to support this ministry and keep the good news of God's love, grace, and life on the air every day. And to say thank you when you make your October gift, we have an excellent resource for you called The Power of Eight. Bob, tell us just a little bit about what this is about.
Well, the Power of Eight covers the eight essential truths that every Christian needs to be rooted and grounded in. You need to know that Jesus is God. The Word of God is authoritative and is truth. You need to know this about this new covenant that we live in and the benefits of the cross. Mm-hmm. What does it mean that Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scriptures? We need to know the reality of the resurrection, our identity in Christ, how to live this Christian life and what that's going to look like, this life of love. And yeah. so we've put those together in this CD series called The Power of Eight. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I was in Wichita, Kansas, actually Hutchinson, Kansas, at the Union Valley Bible Church, and I was talking to a person after the service, and he was asking some questions. I said, get this series called The Power of Eight. And so a friend of his sent me a text and said, after visiting with you and binge listening to The Power of Eight, he stated that he finally got it.
Wow.
He finally understood what faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ is all about. And I thought that was just a
wonderful
testimony.
Yeah.
And I think this is true. You get the full picture of what this good news of Jesus Christ is all about and your place in that story, mm-hmm. and how you can truly experience the abundance of life in Christ Jesus.
The Power of Eight, yeah.
Yes, so yeah. we want to put this in your hands.
Yeah, request your copy when you make your October gift, and you can do that any of several ways, and you'll find out all those ways when you visit basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Joan in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Hi, Joan.
Hi. I just have a question about, let me try to explain this, describe it. I mean, you know, Jesus said that when he forgives us as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers our sin no more. But I'm kind of confused about something. You know, if we ask for forgiveness and we repent, and what about Judgment Day? I'm confused about Judgment Day. Is everything going to be brought up that we ever did wrong? Or is that, I mean, if it's forgiven, why would it be brought up? I'm confused on that.
Well, Joan, that's a great question.
Great question.
And I think we can help clear up that confusion.
Good discernment, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you are reading the Word of God. The Spirit of God is opening your eyes to truth. And so some of the things that you have heard taught just don't line up with what you're seeing in the Word of God. And so that's where the confusion comes from. But Joan, one of the promises of this new covenant, and it's very important for us to understand that that's the covenant that we live in today. So when Jesus cried out from the cross, "It is finished," at that moment, the Old Testament came to its conclusion. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. Jesus stepped into our shoes and tasted death for all of us, as the writer of Hebrews says. So his death put an end or brought to fulfillment that old covenant, and then his shed blood ratified this new covenant. And in this new covenant, God remembers our sins no more, and where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sins. So when we receive Christ, we receive that forgiveness. We're given a new identity in Christ. We've been declared righteous, and the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, sealing the deal. So we are sealed for that redemption that is coming at the appearance of Christ Jesus. So when we go to stand before him on Judgment Day, all of our sins have already been judged. All of our sins have already been taken care of. So the story that we're going to hear from God is a commendation of our faith. So he's going to commend us for our faith, for our trust in Jesus Christ. And so our judgment is going to be eternal life. You have receive Jesus. Eternal life is in Jesus. You have Jesus, so you have eternal life. That's the judgment. So there's going to be no mention of your sins. He's not going to drag out a video and play all of the rotten stuff that you've ever done up on a heavenly screen so all of creation can see it. No, all of that was absorbed into Jesus 2,000 years ago. He took your sins away from you, and he bore them in his body, and then those sins were sent away as far as the east is from the west. So the story God is going to tell about you is the story of your faith in Jesus Christ. It will be a by grace, through faith, in Christ story.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Well, yes, but I was really thinking that, you know, at the judgment, we're going to face like a judge, you know what I mean? I mean, God is the judge, you know, but I mean, so well, that clears it up, yeah.
Yeah, he's coming in judgment. You know, there's going to be a judgment out there toward the lost. They're going to be able to make a case for themselves, and that case is not going to hold up, and they're going to be judged because they've rejected Jesus. Your judgment okay. is going to be from a heavenly Father who loves you and has sent Jesus to take away your sins, and your judgment is going to be eternal life. That's pretty good, isn't
okay.
it?
Okay. Yes, that's a great gift.
Yes, yeah. yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Well, let me do this for you, Joan. We've got a great little resource I want to put in your hands. It's called Forgiveness, the Door to Life. It's yours. We just want to send it to you. And can I put you on hold and get your information, and we will send it your way. You hang on,
yeah,
Joan.
Sure.
Okay. Thanks for your call. Great question today.
Thank
you. You know, keep trusting the Lord to take the things of the Lord Jesus and make them known unto you in your study of the Word of God. So
absolutely.
You hang on.
Yeah, thanks, Joan. Friends, we have planned an exciting trip to the Holy Land for our Basic Gospel listeners and friends. It's coming up May 25th through June 6th, 2019, and registrations are well underway, and we encourage you to seriously consider what some are calling the trip of a lifetime. Now, the problem with the trip of the lifetime is once you make it, you want to do it again, and so that's one of the problems, but that's the only problem. But all the information is available at the very top of our homepage at basicgospel.net. Just click Israel 2019 for the tour schedule and find out about pricing and registration. Again, that's Israel 2019, that link at the top of the page at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us today, everybody, for Basic Gospel. As we close today, please remember that this ministry is indeed listener-supported, and as we enter into the autumn months, we need to keep the momentum going. So please go online to basicgospel.net and see all the ways that you can make your gift to help keep the good news coming. Again, that's basicgospel.net. A reminder, too, that if you have a question between now and our next live broadcast, use the 24-hour listener line, 844-322-2742, to record your question, and we'll talk about it on the air. Again, that's 844-322-2742, or drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Either way is a great way to get your question to us, and we'd love to hear from you. We always love hearing from you, our listeners. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.